welcome to episode 213 of Fly Away. We're a group of agents from Outlander Travel who get together every week to talk about all things travel. Whether you've been listening for a while or just tuning in, we're happy you found us. We truly believe that travel has the power to change the world, and we want to inspire others to come along with us. We chat about destinations, current events, our favorite experiences, and lots more. We love to hear your feedback and ideas for topics, so be sure to connect with us on our website, Facebook, or Twitter. My name is Lindsay, and this week I am joined by fellow Outlander travel agents Laura, Sandy, Donna, and Elizabeth. There are so many different types of groups that travel together. Families getting together to celebrate milestones, athletes traveling for a race or some sort of event, or dragging their less athletic friends around with a bunch of friends getting together for an extended weekend, or maybe even a club, school, or church group. Traveling as a group allows you to bring a built-in crowd to hang out with, and it amplifies the fun. This week, we wanted to give you some ideas on how to keep your group connected before, during, and after travel. So let's get started. So what's the number one thing we all do with groups? I know that I advise my group to start. We start a Facebook group.
Right? Yeah, totally. It doesn't always work. And every group I have, there's somebody who is not on Facebook. So there's always that, you know, can you make sure you email so-and-so? And I'm like, no, I'll forget, but I'll try.
You know, to so-and-so because they don't.
Yeah, they don't do Facebook. And it never fails. There's usually at least one in every group that doesn't. But it is great. It's a great way to shoot out like a little get excited thing, or if there's news about the destination, or, you know, if anything comes out about the trip, it's a great way to just sort of generate excitement.
I do it for like my Run Disney groups, and we post stuff about like when Southwest has a sale, you know, or don't forget you got to register for the race coming up, and you know, things like that, or how many miles you ran that week, just to kind of build that excitement. Yeah.
I would be things easy. To pack, special things to pack, or things that people have found that are going to be great for the trip.
Yeah, like when you check the weather and you realize it's going to be freezing.
Yes.
And you're like, oh, crap, what are y'all going to wear?
Or if they're going to an all-inclusive in Mexico and the seaweed is back and the beach is going to be seaweedy, things like that. Yeah, it's good to set expectations that way, so both the positives and the negatives, for sure.
Yeah. It's a great way to share those like you said, the little tidbits of information files, and you can put in there sign up lists for things for people. And also it's a great way to grow your group too, because a lot of times what will happen is someone will start a Facebook group and they're like, oh, well, we were only planning on traveling with this many people. And then you add everyone, you know, and next thing you know, more people want to go with you.
Yeah. And then I have an annual group one that's a semi-annual, no, biannual group. They go every other year. And so we actually have a group that just is for each trip. And so every year we add more people to it. And then they're in the group for the next time. So they may not go on the next one, but they might. So it just, it's been building the group over years. If it's something you think you're going to do regularly, even if it's not annually, but you know, every other year or something like that, it's a good way to just keep the group there. Post something in it every once in a while, and we'll do little surveys. Where do you want to go next time? You know, we're looking at these places. What do you think of it? And it gives us a good way to choose the next location.
Yeah, the polls, Facebook polls, are awesome.
Mm-hmm. And in groups, you can have more than just two choices. Whereas if you post publicly, you can't. So
is that what that is?
Yeah,
I did something recently where it only gave me two choices. I was like, no, I want a third choice.
Yeah, no, you have to. Yep,
that's interesting. Yep. I didn't realize that.
So what about like on the trip, on board or at your destination, what are some of the ways that your groups kind of stay connected and find each other? And
there's the Find Friends app, but I think you all have to be on iPhone to do that one, don't you? We did one whenever we did our Dopey reunion this past January. There was a bunch of us doing this. And we did an app called Life 360. And basically you can do this, you know, with your kids or your family or whatever. So you can kind of track your kids where they go. But but the nice thing is you can set a time limit. Like you can accept this group, but only for a certain amount of time. So after your trip, they can't see where you are. But it was nice during the races because we could kind of tell if someone was ahead of us or behind us, or, you know, like, it's nice to be able to, or like, you know, we'd be in one of the parks and like, oh, they're over there by Pirates of the Caribbean. And so, you know, it was pretty cool. It was a neat way to track everyone and be real big brother about it. Mm-hmm. You
know? if you're on a ship, you can't really do that. So my suggestion usually is to make sure that everybody has the same dining time, which can be difficult. Actually, you want your travel agent to be on top of that, because if everybody's going to eat at the same time, there's some coordination that goes with that on a cruise ship and being able to get everybody into the same dining time. So,
yeah.
I mean, if your group isn't big enough, you can't really get guaranteed dining together. So it can take some work and some waitlisting and some, you know, knocking on doors basically, to make it happen. But that way everybody knows where everybody's going to be at least at 5:30 or 8 o'clock, whichever seating they have. So it's a nice way to make sure you're always.
When I do a group, when I'm with a group on a cruise, I like downloading the app that the cruise lines have and doing the texting feature, which is usually an extra charge, but to me it's worth it.
It's not a huge charge, but it is annoying if you've bought an internet package and then you have to pay for that on top
of
it.
You have to pay for
the
texting too. Well, and if it's just me and my husband, it's not a big deal, but
right.
For a family of five, it would be a little annoying to pony up that much more. Yeah.
And the one thing I did notice about, I mean, we just did that on our last little trip together, but not being able to message multiple people at the same time, like you can with a phone,
right.
With texting.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes.
That was, because they have to send the same message to everybody.
Yep. Copy paste. Yeah.
Maybe they'll have to type it out. 10 times. it has its benefits, though, too, because, you know, when you start having these groups of 8, 10, 12, 14, 16, 20, your phone's always ding, a ding, a ding, a ding, a ding, a ding. And if, let's just say that you might be one of the older ones in the group, and you might and it's like it's 11:30, 12:30, 1 o'clock, a ding, a ding, a ding.
Your group chat on Facebook. Everybody's in the same chat chain.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yep.
So kind of one of the things that if you're a more low tech person, you know, everybody's seen the groups of people wearing the same shirt or but wearing the same lanyard or having something like that. You can go a little more old school and just plan to have set meeting times and meeting dates that are optional for people or if, depending on the makeup of your group, so that they know where they can find everybody.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
and those are easy enough. You can get, you know, a little lamination isn't that expensive nowadays to get done, and that way everybody has a
and like the t-shirt. There's lots of t-shirt printing companies that'll do smaller runs of t-shirts now too, so you can easily make t-shirts. And I don't know that I've been on a cruise in 10 years where I haven't seen at least one group with matching t-shirts.
I always thought that was a little silly, but we did that when I chaperoned my daughter's chorus trip in middle school to Disney. And that actually was nice because all the kids had the t-shirt on. And when we would go, like, we'd be in line for a ride, they knew where our group ended because we were all dressed the same.
Mm-hmm.
You know? So
and you could also pick all your students out of a crowd.
Yes.
Especially if it's a bright color shirt. Everybody has it, so.
Yeah, and I'd be like, oh, yeah, you're with us. I can yell at that kid.
Yeah, although I have seen a kid follow the wrong family because he was following the orange shirts, and unfortunately another family was you know, wearing the orange shirts. His mom caught him quickly, but it could have ended up in disaster because he's just toddling along after this other family.
Oh,
and she's like, those aren't our shirts.
That's not your family. Don't just grab a stranger's hand.
Don't you recognize those people? No, you don't.
Don't go with the orange people.
Walk into the light. So, yeah. Go ahead.
Liz. When you guys are doing your groups, and I know, Elizabeth, you do a lot of the bigger, do you do the meetings beforehand? In-person meetings or Skype meetings or?
So most of my groups, all the people are not in one place. Like we don't have a physical, like, similarity. They're all over the country. My corporate group that does a conference every year, they have a Slack channel that they use to communicate, which works really well. So, you know, because a lot of those guys, they're all developers, so a lot of them have Slack at work anyway, and so they just add that channel to their Slack. And
is
they,
that why we use Slack?
Well, no, I use Slack because it works really well. You say we use it, that would be like you use it once a year. I use it every day. But it's a great tool. You sort of go to where they are. So I have another group that the group that meets every other year is they do have a conference once a year on land, a gaming conference that we do. And so they actually do about four times a year, but I go to one of them once a year, the biggest one, and talk about the event there. So I guess in a way that is a central place, but we don't limit it to people who go to these conferences. It can be anybody who wants to go sit and play board games with a bunch of people who like to sit and play board games in fun tropical places or on cruise ships. So in that case, we don't do one. And then I have a group of, it was originally ladies, like girlfriends who their husbands are going, as well, but a bunch of girlfriends got together and decided they wanted to go on a Mediterranean cruise. And we meet on, actually GoTo Meeting. One of the ladies, has a GoTo Meeting account for work. And so she sets up a GoTo Meeting that we're about to have our second one, actually. So the first one was basically talking about the cruise and what it entailed and why it had been selected. And then this one is more about the pre-cruise where, you know, they want to go to Rome for a few days. So we're basically talking to see how many people want to go together versus how many people want to make their own plans and then decide what to do. But they also have a Facebook group. So I was able to post a suggested itinerary for their, land portion in that group about a week ago so that they could mull it over or look at the different activities. Then when we talk at our meeting, they'll have already seen it and, you know, have been mulling it over.
Awesome.
So Laura, you just did a big meeting for a group that you're putting together, right?
Someone else actually did the meeting for me, but we met on one of the, as a church group. So we did a presentation on Wednesday night. In fact, we wound up doing three presentations. And one of them, they brought me there via Skype. They Skyped me in, and I got to answer questions because the person who's on the ground, because we live in different places, was having trouble with that, answering all of the questions. So that worked really well because it helped take me from being kind of a business card to a human.
Yes.
And I was able to make a lot of connections with folks and learn more about them, all that. And I think it also helped them all. A couple of folks have actually been. They're all going to the Holy Land next year. And we've got about, we're hoping to have about 38 folks going. And some of them have already been to portions of it before, so it helped them to get excited, to get over whatever, many fears they may have or questions they may have, just little things about is it safe and what's the food like and, those kind of things. And I think it really helped to get some people, excited and really looking forward to it. And so, and then we're going to do in about 3 or 4 weeks, once we've got the group really solidified, we're going to do a big breakfast.
Yeah, that's a great idea. Yeah,
we're going to do a big breakfast, and we're actually having somebody come in who lived there for a couple of years and just talk about the culture of the place they're going, really ask any questions, that kind of thing. So I think that will, the leader, the big leader of the group is actually the church pastor. He and I are kind of putting together some, we're calling it Holy Land Bingo, but, kind of like a Holy Land scavenger hunt kind of thing. them kind of getting to know each other some. So that people who are traveling by themselves are not feeling so disconnected, or worried. And people who, it's a big church, so, people who don't know each other as well, but they start to kind of learn little things about each other and what they're excited about and what they might want to do together, pair up. Because for us to, we're going to do lunches on our own. And so we want to be able to form like little groups of 6 or 8 and, so it's that kind of thing that we're going to be doing.
One of those really cool things about doing all this pre-planning and all these meetings before a group. I mean, I have a group now that in November 2019, and people are already talking about their fish extender plans. They're signing up to make the same type of t-shirts. They're talking to each other, connecting on social media. People are building those relationships. And one of the really cool things I think you take away from this is you're not just traveling with people, you're making connections with people that are going to last long beyond your, in most cases, long beyond your trip. So, yeah. it's kind of a great way to kind of make your, you know, your trip might only last for so long, but that relationship can go on so much farther.
Yeah. Well, and what's that statistic we learned about how the anticipation of the trip is so much a part of the experience, like as much as the trip itself.
Yeah, and sometimes it's actually more relaxing. Like it gives you more psychological benefit, the planning portion does, than the actual vacation does. Mm-hmm. So, I think it's important to, when you're, especially if you're traveling with a group of strangers, you know, if this is even if it's an affinity group, meaning everybody has a common interest, if they don't know each other, that can be a really intimidating thing to go on this, you know, group trip and say, okay, I'm going to play games with a bunch of people that I've never met before. So, some icebreakers and things that you can do on the first day are always welcome. And I actually just went to a conference that they did, that they've done this a couple of times now, where they give everybody half of a picture, and there's the other half is out there. Somebody else has been given it, and you have to find your match, and then you get into a drawing. And that's kind of cool. It sort of prompts you to at least, you know, you may not have deep conversations with these people, but you at least go up and talk to them. Whereas you might not, you know, at least show me your picture. It sometimes started a conversation. So things like that can be really fun if you have an initial meeting at the beginning of your group, just so that people can identify who else is in the group, who's one of them, you know.
I like the idea too of like the meetup times, like if you're on a cruise or something like that. Like, you know, we always play a card game when we go to our conference, which is fun. And that's a good, I mean, it's a tradition now, but it's a good, like, I don't know, it's just a good way for us all to kind of group together and you know, meet.
Yeah,
we usually bring in new people.
It's getting really big now too, so we're gonna have to break it into two card games. Yeah.
Hey, Lindsay, can you tell everybody what a fish extender is?
Okay, so on a cruise ship, this is something that I don't know. I started doing with Disney, so I think it originated. I don't know if
it's actually
originated
only
with Disney.
Yeah, but it's only on Disney. I never see it on any other cruise.
Only on Disney.
Yeah, because the clampy things are fish on the Disney cruises.
The clampy things are fish, and people will get really extravagant in making these basically hangers with pockets. And every member in your cabin will have their own pocket. You can buy them on Etsy pre-made. I made mine. I have some friends who get really creative and make incredible ones. But then the gist of it is you get on a group, and not necessarily just the group that you're going with, but each cruise has a set up Facebook group for that sailing. And, you know, you do the fish extender sign up, and you can get on there and say, I'm agreeing. And then when you see how many people have signed up for it, that's how many items you buy, little trinkets, little neat things. I mean, it depends on the size of your group. And we've done small little bottles of liquor. We've done magnets. We've done, like really cool things to tchotchkes and pencil erasers, candy and snacks and things like that. And then the gist of it is you get a printout with everybody's room name or room number and name of who's in the room. And then you go around and have your delivery days. And so every day when you're going back to your room, you've got your fish extender hanging outside, and it's got these little goodies in it. And it's kind of this surprise thing that,
it's a secret Santa on steroids. I mean,
because you could have a group of like, even if you have a group of like 30 or 40 people that are your immediate group, you can do your own, but then there's also, you know, they have them set up for the whole entire ship. So these people really get into it. If you're going on a Disney cruise, even if you're by yourself, you are guaranteed a network of people to group with, because
I had a friend who she posted a picture of what she was taking, and it was like a suitcase worth of stuff for fish extender. What?
I had an extra suitcase. I had extra suitcases for my fish extender gifts.
Yeah, y'all are crazy.
And then you need it when you come back, because now you have all this crap that other people gave you.
You mean stuff?
I'm sorry. No.
Really cool stuff.
And honestly, some people go all out and make, like, I've seen people make, like, felt Christmas ornaments. And, I mean, you can get all kinds of things in there.
Yeah. I had, for Bonnie and Andy's wedding cruise, I had a guy I know who's a glass artist make glass magnets with Mickey heads on them.
Wow.
Yeah. So sometimes you can get cool stuff for the most, but, you know, otherwise you're bringing home a suitcase full of pencils and candy and
Dollar Tree
notepads.
Stuff. Yeah.
And yeah. I mean,
yeah, because if you got to buy like 20 things.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It is kind of a cool thing, you know, if you're thinking about going with a group and that's something that you would enjoy. You know, it's especially, you know, I don't want to say especially, when you're using your travel agent,
mm-hmm.
contact her, because if that's something you would enjoy, is kind of surprising everybody with maybe a little something on their pillow or something like that, your travel agent can sometimes contact the motel or the cruise ship or whatever and help you get that, you know, kind of stuff distributed.
Mm-hmm.
So, and it is a really fun, you know, it is a fun thing for... you know, we're hoping to do some of that in the bus seats of the group. I'm doing that when they come in, that there'll be things in their seat that, like I can tell you guys, cause you're not going,
but well,
listening.
But after they go to the Sea of Galilee, there's going to be goldfish in all their seats.
Packages
of the goldfish and just little things that kind of add value to their experience there. So
yeah, our Beth actually talked about that, where she, because she's done an Israel trips before, and they do similar things where they bring, you know, themed snacks and gifts and things. So yeah, super cool.
One thing Sandy and I planned for but haven't really been able to bring to fruition is our darn scavenger.
We have a good scavenger hunt set up for Epcot too. It's hard.
Amazing scavenger.
You better do it before they change everything at Epcot.
I know, right? Some of the stuff is going to be there a while, but yeah, we should do it
although
in January.
Although I was going back and looking at those pictures, Sandy, and I don't even think I know where
I am. Oh, I know where they all are.
I bet.
Because I made my kids try to find them when we were there this summer. And they gave up. I was like, look around. Where are we? Look up and down.
That's probably a good tip to give, too. Because if you're like us, we were so excited and so happy we made that scavenger hunt. But the group that we had going with us was, like, not into that. They didn't want to do that. So picking your games and your activities geared toward the people who are in your group is probably a
idea. And never, ever forcing the issue. I mean, we definitely, even with this trip that we're talking about, the meeting that I have soon, there are a couple people who have asked at least 3 times, do we have to go with the group? And I'm like, you really don't. I'm just like, I'm putting this out there so that you get some ideas. If you like the ideas that the group comes up with, you should join the group. But if you don't, you don't have to. You can certainly go do things on your own. And you don't have to do the whole pre-land, you know, pre-cruise land thing. You could do it on your own. And I can help you do something individualized or as a group. So that's the thing, too, is you don't want to create a forced situation. This isn't work. So, you know, it's like the fish extenders. It's such a great idea for people who love stuff like that. But for me, that is a lot of work. I got to go shopping. I got to think about stuff.
I don't want stuff.
I got to make all these pouches. And then I got to carry all this stuff. And then I got to carry all this stuff back that I probably won't use. And so although I see them hanging in the halls. I'm like, oh, how fun it would be to get a little gifty. But in practicality,
see, my thing is, I used to be the person who, when I would go to a trade show or something, would pick up every tchotchke that I could, to where I was dragging
so much.
Yeah, I know. I would do it everywhere, though. Like, I'd go to the Race for the Cure, you know, and that's a huge event, so there'd be tables everywhere. And I'd come home with, like, clappy hands and beach balls and all this stuff, and just... It's stuff that eventually I get rid of, and, you know, so.
Well, see, no, those would be perfect fish extender gifts.
Yeah.
It doesn't have to be the same thing in every
place. Although some fish extender, there are rules usually that you can't have branded.
Yeah, I've not done one where, you know, where we had those strict rules. So I don't know. There's probably like a whole a rule book.
Yeah. Well, it is. I mean, it's one of those things where people see it as an opportunity to put their little Mary Kay samples in there with their business card and their, you know, their party light samples you know, whatever. That's what they bring, which honestly, that's not a bad idea. I mean, if that's what you do for a living and you have these things, then why not?
I mean,
but it is sort of then it feels like it's turned into an advertising thing, which is, you know, a lot of people don't want that on their vacations.
You got to wonder with how often this happens on Disney, if people could just do that and not even sign up for it, but just take them. Yeah.
I actually bet it.
I will say that the last Disney cruise I was on, I did not do the fish extender stuff, and I was sad about it. And the whole time I thought, you know, gosh, I just wanted to like buy little things and put it in random people's. With the, because you don't even put a note. They don't know who it comes from.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's just in your little bag, and that's what's in there. So what a great way to give. I don't know. I think that's part of that Disney magic that like.
Well, Disney people are a special kind of people for sure.
Yeah. And there's nothing stopping you from packing your suitcase full of stuff and just going to random cabins and leaving stuff on any given cruise ship.
Yeah. Right.
I mean, you could do it. That would be funny.
Actually. Little magnets on everyone's door for little Disney.
Yeah, that's another thing Disney people do. They decorate their doors and. Even like when you're at like Pop Century, you know, you go by and the windows have all this stuff all around.
Yeah. Oh yeah, there's stuffed animals, or there's a stuffed animal troop lined up in the window, but the whole window is decorated, and there's
Christmas time when there's like lights strung up.
Well, I will say sometimes that's housekeeping that does that, because we've had that happen when we were staying at Coronado, and I think Marcus was like 15 months old. He was really small, and he has these stuffed zebras that he takes everywhere. But we also had all these little toys, and they had arranged all the toys, including the zebras, like in a little diorama. You know, I think he had two zebras, so the two zebras were like looking at the little Fisher Price, you know, thing, like they were playing with it. Yeah, when we came back, and it was sitting on our windowsill. So yeah, they do that sometimes.
And the campgrounds too, Sandy. I know you've probably been through there to see the holidays,
Christmas, and Halloween too. Yeah.
But we digress.
We moved away from our.
But anyway, it's really decorating the doors is not a bad idea if you're staying all in the same hotel, or even if it's not, you don't want to get. But having like a little note board, or having like a little a signifier or something that you know that person in that cabin is with your group is a really great way to kind of keep track of each other too, or kind of meet up with people.
And then again, you may not want to be recognized.
Just take it off.
You don't want them to find
these are not my family.
Like, forget
don't
it.
Judge.
Well, I've definitely seen that with sports team groups or whatever. Like I've been in hotels where, you know, there's a cheer competition going on or whatever, and you can they'll have magnets that identify which, you know, which team they're on, and you know there'll be little notes of encouragement, you know, underneath the magnets, where obviously somebody's gone by and been like, "You can do it, you rock this," or whatever. So that could be a great way, if you have a, especially like a competitive group, like if you're doing a race or something like that. That's a great way to sort of.
That's a good idea.
You know,
so this is off topic, but I need to shout out to Holly Springs High School. They went, the track and field team went down to ESPN Wide World of Sports at Disney, and both the ladies and the gentlemen won.
Congratulations.
And they were on ESPN, and their races were on. Yeah, it was awesome. My friend is the coach, and I was so proud of them.
Yeah.
It was really cool.
Yeah, I was going to say, as a segue to that, with the decorating the doors and being able to know, is whenever I took groups when I was younger, you know, whenever I took youth groups up to, like, New York City and stuff, you could always tell our doors, because we were the ones who put pinked up duct tapes across the door at night. and then when we woke up in the morning, if the duct tape was gone and or missing, we knew who had disobeyed the rules, and they were going,
oh. These are chaperone tricks.
Were the kids not smart
really
enough to...
smart.
Were they not smart enough to replace the duct tape?
Well, none of it was on the outside of the
duct tape. Well, a lot of it is on the outside, so they're pressing out.
Oh,
so
I see.
So they would break the tape.
Sacrificial... You know, or get some strange, hey, can you, when I shut this door, can you?
So, yeah, I guess it works both ways. It works to bring people together or also to ensure the rules are followed.
Well, that is our show for this week, guys. Thanks for hanging out with us. We would love for you to share your life-changing travel moments with us on our Facebook page. You can find us on Facebook as Fly Away, or from the podcast page on OutlanderTravel.com. Please be sure to subscribe to us and leave a review in iTunes, Stitcher, or wherever you get your podcasts. We'd love to hear from you. On behalf of Elizabeth, Laura, Sandy, Donna, and myself, Lindsay, thanks for joining us this week, and we will see you next time. Gotta fly!